Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to, once again, another episode by us known as Homebrew Adventures. We are so glad to be back. We left you all a little bit of a cliffhanger on the last episode, which I know everybody loves it when I do that, because they all send me angry text messages and threaten to hurt me and, you know, things like that. So, especially Charlie. And you know, I'm tired of getting those hate messages. So, you know, maybe I won't leave you on cliffhangers anymore. We'll see. But welcome back, everyone, to another episode. We are excited to get back in. Thank you all so much for, you know, coming back and listening and supporting us and giving us all those listens on Anchor, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. But without further ado, we like to just jump right in. So we are going to start with Sid and Patio. We last left you off face-to-face with Agent Graves in an alleyway, as most horror stories lead to. You know, we all love dark alleys. His back was turned to the other side of the alley as a townsfolk who seems almost possessed with glowing red eyes as fog follows, creeps their way around the corner and lunges just past Agent Graves, knocking him off unbalanced, heading to you all. And I need you both to act under pressure to get out of the way.
Oh, I can't protect someone.
Or you can protect someone, whichever, if you would like to protect someone.
I would like to try if we can, because I saw it coming and I could see it lunging. I would like to try to push Agent Graves out of the way and protect someone.
Absolutely. I admire that. Roll to protect someone, so plus tough.
Okay. Oh, no. Yep. Well, I get another experience.
Oh my gosh, we're starting this episode off strong.
It was very dark.
Yeah, I rolled a six.
It was very dark. Okay, so you see it coming, so you lunge to go after Agent Graves to like pull him out of the way, but whatever this person is that seems to be just, you know, going crazy, rabid, gets there just quicker than you and shoves past Agent Graves, which was gonna just knock him to the side, but since you were also going, Agent Graves gets knocked, and you end up knocking Agent Graves back in the opposite direction, which ends up basically he falls back and hits his head on the garbage can on the other side, the dumpster on the other side of the alley, smacks it really good. He sees stars, a little bit of blood kind of comes up of an open wound from the back of his head as he ends up taking two harm from that. Now the
welcome.
So you ended up making that worse, but this creature does barrel past both of you, now heading at you, Patio. What do you do in this situation?
Act under pressure, I guess.
Absolutely, you want to act under pressure to get out of the way.
I don't know.
Absolutely. So why don't you go ahead and roll act under pressure, which is plus cool.
Okay. No. Shit. I got three.
Oh my gosh. This is the most experienced bunch I have ever seen.
Yeah.
All right. So, on a miss.
With my plus one.
Yeah. So, on a miss, things go to hell, is what the rules as written say.
So you're literally sucked into the other world.
You are literally sucked into the depths of hell.
Goodbye.
Yeah, so basically you freeze. Your body or your mind is telling your body to jump out of the way, but your body is like, no, I stay here. As this creature just makes its way and pulls you into a tackle and drags you to the floor with it as it begins to just start clawing at you with its human fingers and just like going for the eyes and just grabbing and ripping, causing you one harm for now.
Do my safety glasses help at all?
Are you wearing safety glasses?
Always.
You're that person. You still take the one harm from the fall and scratching and the just ripping at you. All right, so Sid, you now see Patio being basically grappled to the ground in this tug of war battle between this this possessed looking human. You see Agent Graves just like, oh my gosh, like grabbing his head and really pissed off at this moment. He's still really out of it, but you're able to kind of get up and assess the situation. You have those two options. What do you do?
I want to go after the creature now because I see that Graves is moving around and is at least alive, and Patio's in more danger, so I want to help them. I guess I just need to decide if I want to do protect someone or kick some ass, because it's kind of it's both plus tough, but I want to like roll and try to just
specify specifically what you do.
So I want to like go to the creature and try to like tackle the creature off of Patio.
Mm-hmm. So we'll call that a help someone or protect someone. Sorry. Yeah, protect someone.
Okay.
Because you're trying to basically take them off of Patio, who you were trying to protect. So yes, protect someone.
Okay. Boy, I'm going to level up before you know it.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, that's a 5, my dude.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, let me know when you get your experience, your 5 experience.
Next one.
Next one, all right.
You're so experienced.
Yeah.
So you end up making things worse. You end up...
How?
Exactly. You dart over there. You know, you're trying to separate them, break this creature up. You're trying to, you know, do what you can to separate them, but it ends up just making this creature more angry, and you seeing how you just cannot seem to break them, and this creature has now gotten more angry. This creature now just does not take their hands off of Patio and begins to dig deeper and stronger and more agitated. Yikes. As this time, like, it begins to start biting at Patio's neck and just kind of going a little more rabid. As Patio, you take one more harm.
Oh no.
You are
almost crossing the line into dying.
At this point, Agent Graves kind of, he starts to stumble up and he's like, oh my God, what'd you do that for? Oh gosh, what is that thing? He just now realizes this thing that is now on the ground, and he pulls his gun and kind of points it at this creature, and he's like, what's going on?
I don't know. Help.
I can't get a shot off. He kind of holsters his gun back and begins to start
shoot the gun in the air.
He's like, I'm not gonna alert the town to this. He goes and he starts stomping at this creature as it loosens its grip. Oh, and God. Patio, you're able to roll away, and you're able to stand back up. Sid, what do you do?
Fine.
I pull out my gun and shoot it.
Roll to kick some ass.
All right. You know what? Here's a good thing about this. Even if I don't succeed, I still win because I level up. I'm going to go ahead and pull out the gun and shoot.
You're just in an alleyway getting bulkier and bulkier.
Yeah. Just out here grinding. So that is, I rolled 7 plus tough, so an 8.
8 on kick some ass.
Yay.
Oh yeah, it's success. So you and whatever you're inflicting harm do harm on each other. Okay, yeah, you I'm gonna say though, in this situation, it's not really gonna do harm to you just because it is on the ground, you have a gun, you know, and you're a good distance away. So you pull the trigger, you shoot this thing, and it just lies there dead in the alleyway as the shot goes off. And Agent Graves is like, he's like, what are you doing? No, oh gosh, hurry, we got to get this out of here. Hurry up. And he starts like grabbing this person as you hear screams coming from the town as they hear this gunshot and start freaking out. And he says, cops are going to be here any minute.
Oh, yeah, it's really loud.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Magnum.
He's like telling you, hurry up, grab the legs. Let's go. Let's get this thing out of here.
I go help Patio.
He's like, seriously, the cops are going to be here any minute and we can't let them find this. He's like, fine. He just like scoops this creature.
Patio, are you okay?
I've been better.
But yeah, you see AJ Graves just like, he's pissed off. He just scoops this creature up and just starts making his way out that back fence running in the dark. What do you two do?
Follow him.
Okay. Yeah. You definitely start following after him. He is making his way through back alleys, kind of rushing his way, looking behind you. And he's like, oh, if you're going to follow me, hurry up. And now we will go see how Olive and Max are doing. Olive and Max, where we last left off, you found the creature from the comet / asteroid / whatever that big rock was that hit the Earth, laying in the middle of this field. And behind you, you saw three almost possessed looking townspeople, very feral, red shot eyes. There's this like misty fog that seems to be following them as they're making their way and they lunge at you both. What do you two do?
I've got throwing knives.
Oh, you do have throwing knives. You absolutely can. You will roll to kick some ass.
Okay. Ooh, 10.
10. Nice. On a 10 plus, you can choose one extra effect. You gain the advantage and you get to take +1 forward or give +1 forward to another hunter. What that means is they can add +1 to their roll, or you can if you choose to do that. You inflict terrible harm, meaning you do one more harm. You suffer less harm, which means you take -1 to whatever harm they do to you, or you can force them where you want them.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of options.
Yes, it is.
Oh, they're on the paper. Got it. Okay, one moment, please. I'm going to inflict terrible harm.
Mm. Oh, do one extra harm. Okay, so how much damage do your knives do?
One.
So you're going to do 2 harm. Okay, yeah, so you, one of these, excuse me, the one closest to you, you're like, you know, throw your throwing knife at it. It sticks right in the chest, causing, you know, it sticks in there perfectly. And, you know, their forward momentum, though, they're still going forward. So as you hit them with the knife, their adrenaline is still going as they still get a slap across to you. with their claws kind of sticking, or claws meaning they're just human fingernails that are just a little more effort behind them, as it hits you doing one harm, knocking you back a little bit as you feel this force, like, wow, these guys are pretty strong and they seem pretty like weak townspeople, but there's some strength behind that. But that knife is deep in the chest and it's causing some heavy bleeding. What do you do, Austin or Olive?
So one's lunging at me as well.
Oh yeah.
So my hands are like out in front, like I'm going to stop it. But as I see it's coming closer, I just kind of do like this sleight of hand thing where I turn them around and turn them back around. And they suddenly have a knife, a dagger in one. So as it lunges at me, I'm just going to try to plunge it straight into whatever I can there.
Nice. Roll to kick some booty.
Alrighty. Spoiler alert. I probably won't. Oh, hey, yeah. Plus tough. Oh, so it's actually minus tough, but still a 10.
10. You gain the advantage. That's take exactly +1 forward. You inflict terrible harm, suffer less harm, or force them where you want them.
I am going to suffer less harm.
Okay.
And so I'll say, like, I kind of jab it in and then just kind of roll out of the way as it kind of keeps going past me, maybe.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Then it's also, I don't know if this changes anything, but it is a silver dagger. I don't know if that does anything.
Let me see here. I need to look at my notes just to double check. Oh, that's going to be on this one. That's going to be on this one. Does not have any extra effect.
Dope. All right.
Dope. Okay, so how much does your dagger cause damage?
Dose.
Dose. Nice. 2 damage. Yeah, it sticks. Like, do you want it, like, under the chin? Where do you want that dagger?
Yeah, if that's how it was kind of lunging at me face first, then I just probably would have, like, tried to just blind stab and kind of get out of the way and pull it back out as I go.
Yeah, that one kind of goes. It, like, grabs you on its way down, ripping a little bit of flesh off your arm.
Oh.
With just a really tight grip, causing you one harm there.
But I don't take any harm.
Do you have armor?
No, I suffered less harm is my effect.
Oh, yeah. Good job on taking that. Yep. So you take zero harm, but you have a nasty little gash taken, but it didn't really do any harm to you as that one is like laying motionless on the ground, kind of twitching a little bit just because of the knife placement. But eventually it starts to kind of stand itself back up, but very slowly. And there's one left. And this one, it goes ahead. And as you kind of, you know, stab and you're kind of turning your momentum with your body of... this other one kind of catches you off guard. It doesn't do any damage, but it like hits you as it's trying, but its momentum is going too fast. All it does is kind of knock you on the ground and you roll into the slimy being that is laying on the ground. And you're kind of like, oh, it's like very sticky and slimy. Max, it's back to you. What do you do? You see yours is like got a knife in his chest and it's like still moving around. The other one's starting to get up. One knocks all up to the ground and Olive rolls into the slimy being on the ground. And that's what you see. So what do you do?
You just hear Olive like, are you kidding me?
Gross. Well, I also still have a gun. There's still one coming at me.
No, they're not coming at you right now. The one that you stabbed though is kind of like turning back around to face you. But it's like also trying to pull the dagger out of its chest at the moment.
Oh, so they're tough. Hold on. Do I have time to, help Olive?
Yeah, if that's what you'd rather do. You can choose to help Olive out, which would be protect someone, or you can attack or you can run, whatever you'd like to do.
I have a bad feeling about what this goop is doing to these other people, so I think I'll help Olive.
Okay. So Olive is not technically being attacked right now, so you could just kind of go help Olive up. You know, that's going to be just kind of a free action. So you kind of go over there. You know, you help Olive to her feet. Olive, it doesn't seem to be doing anything to you, this goop, this nastiness. It's just... it's actually, as it's the longer it's like on you and in the air, it's starting to kind of dry out and crust over.
Okay.
But it doesn't really seem to have like any kind of effect.
Okay.
You notice. But the both of you do see these three have now put their sights back on you again and are making their way towards you both.
Okay. So they're coming after us.
Now can I get my gun?
Creature.
Yeah. You can totally pull your gun out and use that.
Okay.
Do it.
I can do that.
All right, go ahead and roll to kick some ass.
Oh, shit. I did not kick the ass. Three.
Ooh, on a miss, you get your ass kicked instead.
Yeah.
You suffer harm or get captured.
He's holding the gun backwards.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Rabbit season. Duck season.
Yeah, you end up missing your shot. Maybe you're just nervous. It's dark. You know, you're kind of freaking out a little bit. You miss your shot, and this creature just ends up just shoving you to the ground as it just kind of collapses on you as you feel the strength of this being as it starts biting at your shoulder as you take one harm.
Darn. Oh, no.
Surprisingly, they are pretty strong. One of them looks like a teenager, but the strength is just beyond human natural. What do you do, Olive?
Is one coming after me actively right now? Well,
technically two are, but one's closer.
All right. Well, the one that's closest, I'm just going to try to stab it again.
Okay.
All right. Let's see here. 8.
Hey, so yay. Nice. So yeah, you just swap damage. It takes the two. It ends up killing it, but with the little battle there, you are going to take one harm from it. Just giving you a solid hit. but you're able to take it out as it just lifeless now on the ground, as the red kind of leaves the eyes, and some color comes back to the skin as you see this lifeless body of probably a 28-year-old woman laying on the ground.
Olive does not like this at all.
Nope. Max, you are on the ground grappling with what appears to be some teenage boy, probably around 18, just grappling with you right now. What do you do?
That's a great question. Can I act under pressure?
Absolutely. What would you like to do? Like shove him off, kick him off?
Yeah, like do some panic-fueled maneuver away from him.
Absolutely. Act under pressure. Roll plus cool.
Great. Aha! 11.
Yay! On a 10 plus, yay, you do what you set out to do. So tell me how this works out for you. What exactly
tell
do you do?
Tell you how this works out?
Yeah, tell me exactly what you do. How you get out of this.
Okay. I'm terrified and I'm about to pee my pants again. And so the adrenaline kicks back in and I just roll and manage to get this very strong teenage kid off of me. And then I just kind of keep rolling for a little bit until I'm a safe distance away. And then I can hop up to my feet and I avoid peeing my pants.
Nice. This time you hold it in really well.
Yeah,
all right. So yeah, you kind of,
I got away fast enough.
Yeah. You're able to kind of break away and, you know, get back up. Olive, you see that 18-year-old kid kind of get back up, and it kind of stops and looks deeper into the park, and then kind of looks up and then back into the park, and they begin to, like, with weird supernatural speed, almost trotting, not necessarily running, deeper into the forest of the state park, away from town.
I'm going to go over and help Max up and just be like, that was weird. Did you see that? They just like looked around and then it's almost like they're being summoned to go somewhere.
Yeah, that was really weird. They did a little hop, 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 hop. That's the sound I imagined they were making.
That's exactly the sound they were making. Hop, 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 hop. One of them had coconuts. They were like hanging together.
It's a silly place. Well, should we follow them or should we stay here and figure out what the heck this thing is? Motioning towards the large humanoid.
I feel like they're going to something that is, if it is leading them somehow, it is bigger than them.
That is very true.
And we're not doing too hot.
Yeah. I wonder how Sid and Patio are doing.
Spoiler alert, not well.
Not doing well. Okay, so do we have like any wounds that we need to be bandaged? Are we bleeding?
I mean, if you've taken over 4 harm, then you will have to start worrying about that. But if you have 4 or less, you're good.
Okay, cool. All right. I want to go over and like try to communicate somehow with other being. Ooh, I have magic.
You do have magic
that I could use, and I think that I could probably be able to pull this off without too many ill effects. Yeah, communicate with something that you do not share a language with. Let's go.
Oh boy.
I mean, I'm assuming that it probably doesn't speak English, but we'll see. 11. So
nice.
The magic works without issues. Choose my effect. So the effect is that I want to be able to communicate with it if it's conscious, I guess.
You want to be able to communicate with it. Absolutely. You go to this thing and you notice like it looks like a human, just big, hairless, shaved head. Well, not even shaved, just nothing ever grew. Very muscular and big. Okay. Its clothing is very like ancient, like you would see like in the Mesopotamian area. I don't even know if I said that right, but you know, that kind of... time and place, with, like I said, with this glowing necklace that it's wearing, its eyes are not open, but there is still some shallow breathing happening. And as you are about to open your mouth to talk to it, it's almost like your brain's linked.
Ooh.
And you hear it in your mind.
Ooh, okay.
It's most likely because either the magic you were trying to use, or maybe it is reaching into your mind. You're not sure exactly, but you know that what you're trying to do is happening. It's working.
Even though it's working and I wanted it to happen, I am still terrified.
I can imagine. You've probably never had something telepathically talk in your mind before.
Probably not, yeah.
And it's not very, elegant or anything. It's just you hear in your mind, you just hear, too late. Too late. The door is open. Too late. As the last breath is gone from the creature. And you see, as you're staring down at this creature on the ground, this humanoid figure, it's almost as if its body just starts to deflate and just gets flatter and more of a messy liquid pool as its body just disappears into this pool, nasty, sticky mess, leaving behind just the necklace.
Oh, I'm gonna take that necklace. But I think before I pick it up, I want to try to investigate it, but maybe my friend Max would like to investigate it more than I would.
Yeah. I can do that.
Absolutely.
I'll tell Max. I'll just be like, so it like talked to my brain and said that we were too late, or it was too late. It just said too late. I don't know what that was in reference to. And then it said the door is open, and then it goopified.
Goopified.
That sounds ominous.
Turned into.
Okay.
Alex Mack.
I'll investigate. Okay. I investigated.
So it'll be plus sharp.
I got math is hard. 13.
Yay. Perfect.
Yay. Dang, you're smart.
You're smart. You get to ask me 2 questions.
Oh boy.
From the list of investigative mystery.
Okay. One, I'm going to ask, what was it going to do?
What it was going to do, it was trying to make its way to a specific location. It was trying to close a door.
Yeah, I could have.
Sorry, more specifically, it was trying to get to the door before it opened.
Oh.
But it did not make it there.
Okay. Rats. And then what did I ask last time? Oh, I was asking about the gloop. Okay, so let's see. What sort of creature is it?
trying to see how I can tell you this based on what information you know and what your background is. Okay, so tell me again what your background is as a person. You are studying and investigating state parks. You are looking for the responsible party for the murder, or not murder, but just like what happened to your parents, right? Mm-hmm. Where there was whatever it was that happened. And do you have any other knowledge, like in history, or like what kind of do you like study?
I have like net friends, like so basically any what do I study? That's a good question.
So I'm trying to see what you as a character have knowledge of, so I know what specifically to tell you, you know?
Yeah, I would have knowledge of almost every single conspiracy theory that exists.
Perfect. Probably that's basically what I wanted to know knowledge. That's basically what I wanted to know was how much in conspiracy theories are you?
Right, okay. Tons of it.
Tons of conspiracy theories. Okay, so you remember a conspiracy theory of... there's kind of multiple versions of this out there. But there was a story that started with something taken out of the Bible, actually, of these creatures known as the Nephilim. And so basically there's been lots of conspiracy theories about who they are, what they were. They're talked about being these like big angels or, you know, something. Maybe people thought maybe they were demons. You know, they were just these huge, like, giants, basically. But the conspiracy theory that's been most agreed upon, I guess you could say, was this one conspiracy theory written by a man named Theodore Harvey a long, long time ago. And his conspiracy theory about the Nephilim were actually the ones who created basically how we as humans live on this earth. They were the ones that gave us agriculture. They were the ones that taught us how to build things, technology. They were the ones who basically guided humans through existence. And these Nephilim were otherworldly beings that just happened to find Earth and help basically develop what we know as technology and things like that. And they kind of became the protectors of humans because they had a fascination for humans, and they basically protected their humans. But they also had other worlds that they looked over and kind of cared for. It's almost like their gardens. You know, they cared for their gardens. Some people called us their pets, you know, if you can kind of look at it that way. And so anything, they would protect us from basically otherworldly invasions from other creatures. But what happened to us on our own earth was up for us to defend and kind of learn how to do on our own. They would just give us the technologies and how to survive and things like that. But we had to kind of look out for ourselves in those senses. But anything worldly, otherworldly, or impending doom, they would basically protect the earth from. And the conspiracy goes to say that there would come a day when the Nephilim would die out and there would no longer be protectors for their worlds that they kind of care over. And the conspiracy also talks about that in those worlds that they care for, there is something hidden and locked deep inside that they have kept hidden and closed for, you know, billions of years. And each world exists with good and evil, and the evil is always locked inside. And if that ever gets unlocked, it takes over the world and basically destroys it from the inside out. And now that kind of sounds scary to you when the last words you hear was the door has been opened.
Yeah. Huh. Not great.
Dang. Well...
Oh, also the necklace, the symbol of the staff with the two snakes, you know, as the symbol of the Nephilim.
Wow.
Great. So our protector just died.
That was a lot, Max. Thank you.
It's, yeah, a lot of
you're
stuff
very
in
smart.
All those Reddit deep dives.
Yes. So many.
So it sounds like what we need to do is figure out how to close the door again.
Yeah. Well, we have to find the door.
Well,
first.
I mean, yeah, that's got to happen first.
Close it.
Then close the door.
Maybe the necklace.
That's probably good. Yeah. So. I thought about asking, but I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to reach out and take it.
Okay. that's always the best way to do things is just reach out and take it. Reach out and touch face.
Reach out.
Same my way there. As you grab this thing, it almost feels like it's calling to you as you grab this thing and it connects with you and you touch it. It almost feels like it is calling to you as it seems almost natural, and almost like you've known this necklace for a long time, even though it is a thing. You know, there seems to be something about it that draws you in, and it almost seems like a relational, like, family member. As you were holding this thing, the way you feel towards it is very strange. It seems like it's only something you feel to, like, another human, but you feel it to this necklace. Do you put it on or do you just hold it?
I'd probably
make out spot.
I mean, yeah. Make out spot.
I'd probably put it on, but then I also just want to ask Max if he knows anything. Yes. Hey, so you seem to know a lot about things in general, but also weird things. So, like, have you ever, like, heard anything about, like, this symbol on this or something? Because whenever I grabbed this necklace, it just makes me feel like it's more than just a thing. Like, it's something that I know and, like, I'm connected to. I almost feel like I love it, but not, like, in, like, a greedy way. Like, in a family way, kind of, if that makes sense. None of this makes sense. I don't know what's going on, but does it make sense?
Yes. Do I know stuff about this?
We will find that out in 1 minute as we head to Sid and Patio.
Great. Damn it.
Sid and Patio, you
just mad
are
at you all the time.
I know. I'm going to keep making you all mad at me. Sid and Patio, you are chasing after Agent Graves, who is carrying this this creature that you have shot with your gun, and making his way, you know, kind of back alleys. Eventually, he gets to a dark SUV. As he opens the back, throws the body in, looks at you both and says, "If you're coming, you're coming." Leave in 2 seconds, and he hops in. Do you hop in the car with him, or what do you do?
I look at Patio.
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah, we jump in.
Absolutely. As you jump in and shut the door, you notice there are two other agents inside, sitting in the back, starting to attend to this person back there that you have killed. It is obviously dead, but they are kind of looking at it. You see they have these weird scanners they're kind of like going over the body with, and all this weird equipment inside this SUV. It is decked out in here. There's like laptops and all kinds of stuff. It does not look like it should look like this from the outside. But anyways, the car is speeding off. It is heading outside of town, actually, in a hurry. You see local law enforcement kind of running, and they see this car speeding away, and you see them get on the radio as they're trying to like start calling for help, and they're like pointing at the SUV as this SUV is just making its way up into the national park, actually, and it's making its way up there, just cruising, going as fast as it can. You start to hear sirens in the background as cop cars are starting to, you know, make their chase, which is funny because it brings us back to Olive and Max as you hear the sound of sirens for some reason, and you see this black SUV making its way up the road, crashing through, you know, just through the rock and the trees and making its way through. And then Sid and Patio, while you were in there kind of seeing what's going on and like, oh gosh, you're holding on, you see in the headlights up in the distance two people that you recognize. You see Max and Olive out in the middle of the open.
Get out of the way!
I shout like, stop.
Agent Graves is like, oh, we can't stop, we're being chased right now.
We have to get them.
He's like, wait. And he recognizes Olive. And he just like slams on his brake and whips it, opens the door, and he shouts. And then Olive and Max, you hear the voice of Agent Graves that you saw earlier. You hear him shout and saying for you all to get in the car.
Make up your mind. Do we go with you or do we go away from you? Are you going to shoot us this time too?
stick my head out the window and wave.
There you go.
So, oh, hey. What? Yes. How? I don't have any idea what's going on. Okay, fine. Okay. Let's go.
Yeah, you all hop in as you hear the sound of police sirens also come up. They're not keeping up too well.
I grab the throwing knife out of the dead creature on the ground and give it back to Max.
Guys,
good call.
Thank you. Thank you.
As you all hop in, the car starts heading in the direction that you two actually saw those two creatures run into the state park, you know, deeper into the woods. This car is actually heading in that same direction at the moment.
Guys, I don't know if we need to be going this way. We were just attacked by like some weird, they look like people, but they had glowing red eyes, and we took one of them out. We were pretty sweet. But the other two just kind of like looked around and then ran this way. So I don't know if we should be going this way.
Do you two point out to Olive and Max, the human in the backseat that you all dealt with?
Kind of hard not to, I would think.
Oh, hey, no. Yeah, it's kind of like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they would have seen it, I guess.
That's true, yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, that's the one. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
I just screech in fear for a second. Ow, that hurt.
The car's like bumping, you know, making its way over the rocks and stuff. And this thing is handling pretty well for a nice looking SUV. You hear Agent Graves just like, I don't know who the hell you guys are, but or what you're involved with. But, well, you're in a deep now. So once we get somewhere, we're going to talk and figure this out. And he's just like, you know, going through. And eventually he kind of pulls it to a stop and slowly makes his way down this almost back access road. That hasn't really been used in a long time, but he makes his way there. He kind of kills the lights and slowly just uses the moonlight to kind of guide his way down this back access road as the cop cars eventually kind of fade away in the back as they just were not able to really keep up. And eventually he kind of parks his car and he throws it into park, looks back, gun pointed at all of you, and says, "All right, someone start explaining."
So we were riding our scooters. And
as every great story starts,
I was having a drink.
And then we crashed.
Now we're here.
And
how about you?
The meteor fell. And oh, Pat, Brian told me to tell you hi, by the way.
Ah, fuck that guy.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
Any hoots and hollers. I think, yeah, we tell him like what we're doing and that we just were trying to help out.
Oh,
right?
Guys, yeah.
That's what we're doing,
You'll never believe. Like, I guess you didn't know, but we met this guy. Like, we found the comet or meteorite or whatever it is. But there was like an indention in it, like something came out of it. And I think we found what came out of it. It was like stumbling around and stuff. And then it kind of fell down a hill and it had like goop all over it. Then we got attacked and we didn't, you know, win in time or something. And so I was able to communicate with it though in my brain. And it said, "It's too late. The door is open." And then I got this super sweet necklace from it. That kind of feels like family. It feels more like a person or a being than just like an object. I don't know. So that's all I know. What about you? What are you doing out here, Mr. Graves? Purposely calling him Mr. Graves.
Mr. Graves. He just kind of like, "You all are really in this too deep. I don't know how we're going to fix this. Well... first of all, you're going to turn that necklace over."
I pick it up and I just turn it around. Like, literally, like, as smart ass as I can be.
He just starts rubbing his temple. He's just like, "Oh, it's going to be that kind of a night, isn't it?" Second of all, you're going to take me to where that body is. That's what we're looking for.
The back there. Body is not there anymore.
What did you do with it?
It got all crusty and dried up, and then it just dissolved into a big blob of gloop and
blobbiness.
That's it. It's gone.
He kind of, at that sound, at you saying that, he kind of just like, "Oh no. Oh no, that's not good."
Yeah, but my new friend Max here seems to kind of have an idea of what it is. Why don't you tell us what you think that thing was, and we'll see if the stories match up.
He's like, he's like, "Great." And he looks at you, Max, and he's like, "On the count of three, we're going to say the same word. You ready?"
All of us?
No, he's staring at Max.
Oh, hang on.
He's like, "One, two, three, Nephilim."
Nephilim. Nice.
Yep. All right. You didn't know.
Jinx, okay. Yummy Coke.
He's like, "Let me guess, you one of those conspiracy nuts?"
Hell yeah.
I figured.
I'm just so happy now because there are lights in this car. So I am on like cloud nine right now. And that's Mr. Conspiracy Nut to you.
Mr. Conspiracy Nut to you. He's like, "Well, I mean, we're in this deep together now." He's like, "Look, I'm from the IAU, all right? You can kind of think of us as the FBI of international affairs."
Asshole unit.
He rubs his temples again and he's like, "This is going to be one of those nights." It's like, "No, the international alien unit. Listen, we're in charge of making sure things are going okay here and basically relaying information to those up there. All right. Word on the street was, things were getting a little iffy. We heard rumors that one of them was going to be coming down here to visit. with some urgent matter. Lost contact with him. And then we heard about the crash landing here. All right. We tried to get here as fast as we could to find him and see if we could help, but apparently we were too late. Did he give any information to you all?
Just about the door. Said it's too late. The door is open. I got this hint. I got this feeling that he was trying to keep the door from getting open. He was headed, or they were headed, I don't know. It was headed in that direction, that way, and then it fell down. So the door must be located back where we were coming from, I think.
He starts rubbing his temples again. He's like, we're screwed. We're screwed. All right.
Can't you just get your friends to like beam us up off the planet or something?
Well, here's the thing. He was the last one.
Well, that's annoying.
That was the last of the Nephilim. We were here to, he was coming down so we could discuss what the future was going to look like, how we were going to transfer power and see what we had to do to keep protecting this place. But things changed the day before the meeting. He said something was happening here. Something was changing, something was rising. And well,
the door was opening.
Well, apparently, yeah, that's what happened. So once that door is open, we can't close it.
What comes out of the door?
I don't know. It's never been opened. All I know is we were told whatever comes out of that door is not going to be good for this world.
Okay, so the door is obviously located in West Virginia because anything coming from there would be not good for this world.
It has to be in West Virginia.
We're all just like, hell so, yeah!
Of course, Virginia.
He's like, well...
So at least we know where that's at.
He's like, well, actually, there's four doors.
There's this is a sedan? Yes!
And you see him just start rubbing his temple, and he's like, I don't know if I can take much more of this. He's like, look.
I'm sure you can, but.
He's like, look, we're, as far as anybody knows, we're the last hope this place has. There's four doors located throughout this whole planet. Each of those doors brings out something bad. Yeah. Not everything just happens in America. Not every alien invasion happens in major American cities. It's not like the movies.
Most of them. So, do we know any idea of where any of these doors are? Are we just gonna like have to...
Well, I'm assuming since he came here, one of the doors is close by.
Yeah?
I have no idea where the other doors are. That's something we're going to have to research and find out.
What's this wee stuff?
Well, I mean, y'all are just in this as much as I am.
We get paid?
Okay. Yeah.
No, but you can save this world from getting destroyed. Well, I mean, you don't really have to,
but... What's this world ever done for us?
You are now plagued with this information as much as we are.
Do we get... is there like a stipend for the suits? Do we get the black suits to
I'm
get
not
up?
Wearing a suit.
I'm assuming.
My current suit is very rumpled. I could use a new one.
He's like, believe it or not, there's no dress code. We just like wearing the suits.
Are you guys?
The men in orange.
He's like, but listen, first of all, that necklace you're wearing, I don't know how you're wearing it. Apparently that thing is only meant for the Nephilim, and rumor has it would kill anybody that wears it.
Well,
Olive,
I can't believe every rumor that you hear, you know.
Listen, the only way that I can, you know, assume that you're still alive is that's only supposed to be worn by magical beings.
Oh, so you've seen my YouTube channel?
No, I don't get on YouTube.
Everyone gets on YouTube. Don't lie just because you're some big fancy government man.
Sorry, I don't have time for computer stuff.
Okay, I'm on TikTok too, if you just have a phone.
I'm sorry, I'm more of a Vine guy.
YouTube's awesome. Rest in peace. That's where it was.
So anyway. I just saved all my favorite videos and I just watched the same ones over and over again on my phone since, you know, Vine's not around anymore.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so yeah, I have been known to dabble in some magic. I'm not going to do anything for you right now, though.
You must have some heavy amounts of magic in there because that thing should have killed you.
Well, I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure that one out. So, listen, the best thing we can do now is we got to cover this up, right? We cannot let people know what's going on. Whatever's happening, whatever door is nearby, something bad's going to come out of there. And we got to make sure these people don't freak out. We got to cover this up. I got my guys already getting rid of the rock. So once that's gone, you know, we're trying to keep the news away. Everything is, as far as anyone knows, it was just a quiet blackout. All right.
Not that blogger. There's a blogger out there.
Wait, what? What
yeah.
blogger?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We saw a dude up a ways. And what was his name again?
Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker.
You see him writing this down. What did he look like?
He had a camera.
A Tucker.
Tucker. Got it. He's kind of surprised.
Name, Tucker. Description, Tucker.
Got it.
Oh, wait. He gave me a card. I just do a little, and it appears in my hand. And
all right, perfect.
Here's all of his social stuff. You won't need that because obviously you don't do anything fun.
He looks at it, and he's like, huh, this guy does everything. He's got some blog site called the Twin Hills Buzz.
He's got a gift shop, too.
Oh, he's got the gift. Yeah, it says right on this card too. Gift shop. He's got some like restaurant guide and. Oh man, what does this guy do? All right, well, I'm about to go pay Tucker a visit. You said he was taking pictures.
Yeah, he got a picture of us. I don't know. I didn't see it. We probably looked really cool. It was before I had the necklace, though, so I didn't look as cool.
So I can't have any evidence.
There's like some blob stuff that the alien coughed up or something.
So. Oh no. All right, we can't let anyone get their hands on that either. It's got DNA in it, I'm sure. All right, well, listen up. We gotta figure this out. Me and my guys, we're going to go start, you know, doing what we do best. You all go get some rest.
Messing stuff up. Oh, okay.
go get some rest. If you hear of anything, you let me know. We got to figure this out. Obviously, y'all can do whatever you want. We don't need you here. But if I get any wind of you all telling anybody what's going on, my agency will come after you.
Does your agency even exist? The international alien unit? You just said there's no more aliens.
You can believe what you want, but my agency will come after you if you say anything to anyone. This is between us.
So we're just supposed to like do sign language now? We can't talk to anyone? We can't say anything to anyone?
I mean, like you ever? Can talk like normal conversation, but nothing that happened here tonight.
Well, you gotta,
you catch
know,
my
more
drift.
Specific on these kinds of things. As a professional, you should know this.
You see him just start rubbing his temple.
He's like, "Are you guys giving us a ride back?" Or
they kick the doors open and they say, "No."
But our those things are out there.
I shut the door and say, "Yes."
He's like, "I have a feeling this isn't gonna go well, so whatever." He drives down the access road, eventually connecting back to the main road, kind of to where this all began.
Hold on. Let us get our scooters.
Stop right here real quick.
I think that would be where, didn't you leave your scooters at the bottom of the hill where the video was? Yeah, that's actually where, yeah. So yeah, you got there. Yeah. I was like, oh, fine. Get whatever you need. Get out there. You got to load up your scooters. They drive you
it's
up
like 30
to...
minutes picking up the screws and parts.
Yes. You get it. Are they dropping you off at Patio's place? Where are they dropping you all off at?
Patio, do you have alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
We need a drink. Yeah, let's go to Patio's.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's so you get taken to Patio's place.
Pat's place.
Pat's place. Eventually, you know, they drop you off there. Agent Graves says, I'll be in town. I'm staying here till we get this sorted out. I'm staying up at Twin Hills Inn. All right? Remember, mum's the word. You don't say anything. Here's my card. Call me if you see anything. And shuts the door, drops you off, and he heads back towards town.
I say, yeah, we'll be sure to tell him anything. And I pull out my phone, and so I want to call Tucker. because I have connections with journalists, and I want to give Tucker a call.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the phone lines and or the cell towers and stuff still are out because of the power outage and the blackout. So there is still no cell service.
Okay. Well, that's convenient for you.
But
you, yes, and me, you jerk.
Yes, exactly. But apparently some of the lights are coming back on in town. It seems to be some power is starting to become restored, so the phone lines could be coming on at any second. You just don't know exactly when or how long it takes to get, you know, cell towers back up and running. But it looks like some power is being restored, because you're starting to see street lights start to kick on again in town.
Yay, thank God.
Okay. Because, I want to get any information that Tucker may have as well, so that way we can have that information, because I don't think Graves is going to keep it. I also want to let Tucker know to, like, hey, like, be cool, don't. Like, he's a jerk, but he means well, kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to have to
either... whenever your power comes on,
absolutely, yeah. So what are y'all doing in the meantime?
Drinking.
Yeah, it's, it's, like, super late now. Like, we're on episode 3, and we're still technically in the same night.
Yeah.
From when we started, so, yeah. Like...
we're probably still kind of shooken up, though, so I think a drink would probably take the edge off.
Yeah, it's those nerves, the anxiety, you know, the adrenaline, everything all rolled into one is keeping y'all going for this night, but it is, like, late. Like, we're talking like 2 a.m. probably at this point. Everyone's kind of winding down, going back to their... you don't know exactly what happened at the community meeting, but they did have a community hall, like town hall meeting. I'm sure you can find more information about that in the morning. But yeah, so that is what is going on. So y'all are going to enjoy a drink?
Yeah. I'm going to like tell our story of like the fight that we had, and I'm gonna like super embellish it, you know, and make it sound like really cool, like it was harder than it really was, and that we got, you know, lots of good... you know, stabs in and stuff.
We skipped the part where I peed my pants.
Yeah, no. I mean, everyone can smell it, but your secret's okay, safe with me,
I'm
Max.
I'm adding I changed my pants to my...
someone had asparagus.
I am at least getting noticeably tired.
Yeah, so you all going to spend the night at patios, right?
Yeah.
Or are you going to go separate ways? Or
no, I'm not going to go anywhere by myself right now.
Yeah, absolutely. As you all kind of, you know, get ready to get tucked in for the night, as Patio's going to tuck you all in for the night, you all, you know, get to your beds or whatever. It's been a very long day. There's been some, like, close calls. You did not know what was going to happen. You were laying in your beds. Nighttime has come. The town of Twin Hills is gone to sleep. And we're going to pan the camera back. As we see through the view of the lens of the camera, we see Tucker making his way out of the forest line, presumably had just finished taking some photos for his, you know, his blog that he's getting ready to go. He's making his way back to the town of Twin Hills. 2:30 a.m. Everyone has gone to sleep. He seems to be by himself. He's working late. He is collecting all the information that he can to be ready to stay on top of the story. He is, you know, making his way back. He gets just to the outskirts of town, and right when he's about to walk into town, we see this creature come from the shadows. Not a humanoid that you would normally see, but this thing is standing on 4 legs, large, the size of a small horse. This thing is furry, teeth glistening in the moonlight, eyes as red as hell's fire. As you see this fogginess kind of following this creature as it begins to slowly and quietly begin to hunt Tucker in the midst of this night. And that's where we'll end this episode.
No!
Yay! A cliffhanger! We love them!
You love those cliffhangers! See y'all next episode!